This is the Red Shirt Geeks podcast, which makes its home at redshirtgeeks.com.
And so it begins.
Files accessed. Transfer of data complete.
Commencing.
Ladies, gentlemen, and those living in a pixelated world, by Main Berliner, we are the Red Shirt Geeks.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Shooting the proton torpedoes and, like, make us go that way.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Very bad feeling.
Shut up, Wesley!
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hide behind the mound. Dead bars.
Make it so.
Red Shirt Geeks!
I'm Laz D, the Pseudo Kiwi.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
I'm Sweetbeard of Zeus Alex.
And I'm Disembodied Dave.
Disembodied?
Yeah,
that's the best you got?
I think I'm going with a hippie theme this week.
Whoa, man.
Switch it up.
That's
wow.
Right. Last week he was Diamond Dallas Dave.
Except so, for once you were Diamond Dallas Page. That's beside the point.
That was because he was getting a little warm towards the end of the episode. That's fine.
What you have me do when I pregame for like 50 hours before the episode.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with pre-lubing a little bit.
Exactly.
This escalated quickly.
Yeah, it did. Look, this is what happens when you miss an episode, Alex.
I know.
Episode. Come on, man.
I'm sick for one weekend.
That's
and the world
right.
Falls
yeah,
apart.
Dave was so distraught that you weren't here. He had to pre-lube before the episode.
I miss pre-lubes.
Wow.
I miss DPs. Who knows what else I missed?
That's right. In this episode, we're going to talk about our headaches with Facebook.
Lots of them.
We're going to talk about WatchMojo's top games of, like, forever.
And then we're going to yammer about our favorite games and things like that.
And we're going to talk about our website's facelift.
Yay!
Woo-hoo.
It's like share.
Yeah.
Come on, Alex. At least look excited when we say, we reworked our site.
Hey, look at this. At least our website's not going to come with that brand new, what do they call it? Vocoder, you know, where they do the auto-tuning.
Oh, Lord.
All of our episodes are going to be auto-tuned from here on out.
If you do that, I'm driving back. I'm coming back down to Virginia and beating you upside the head with something.
I think, very large. I think if that was the case, I think I'd be asking for it anyways.
Yeah. Speaking of asking for it, let's talk about Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook has been a real headache this week. And the reason why we're talking about it this week, guys and girls and transgender species who are listening to us, is because we're not actually ignoring you and we are sharing all of our information. It's just that not everybody can see it. And, you know, one of the things that we found out in our investigations is that apparently Facebook would like us to pay them some money to make sure that everybody sees our posts. Now, the stuff that we share onto the page, what you see all the time, that seems to go without any trouble. The thing is that when we do actually distribute our website content via the page, we use an auto-posting scripter so that we can do it, make it easily so that we don't have to repost everything all the time. With that being said, the system isn't allowing us to see everybody to see all that content. So we just want to let you know that we are not ignoring you or not sharing. It's just not working because Facebook wants money from us.
Now, to see
how dare
now, the thing. Yeah, the things that we just go on and post manually on Facebook are showing up. But the most important stuff, the stuff that we're putting the site on, the reason we use Facebook is mainly because it's a place where a lot of people see a lot of things. And despite my vehement dislike of everything that is Facebook, it still does what we need it to do, or it should do what we need it to do, which is to share the things that we share with everybody that follows us. So that, and including us, because I'm one of the people that can't see the content that auto posts. And they do this specifically just to force money out of us.
Right. It suffice to say, it's three of the four Red Shirt Geeks in this episode can't see them.
It's a scumbag, low-life bullshit move, put it bluntly. That's all there is to it. I can't say anything more without going on to a long, long tirade.
Oh, that's fine. I was just going to sum up for everybody that the posts that we're talking about that people aren't seeing happen to be the things that we auto post from the website. You know, when we put out a new video, let's say, you know, of the Doomed Away team or
this podcast,
you know, any of or the podcast, you know, stuff that should link so that it immediately shares with our Facebook following. Those things that are scheduled to auto post are not, and those are the things that we're talking about that you're probably not seeing.
Yeah. So in the meantime, please visit our website daily to see the new content until we get this matter sorted out with Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter. Anything.
Well, it's not that we're not producing content. It's there. It's just not getting provided to you properly.
So also feel free to contact Facebook.
Yeah,
either politely or obscenely.
Yeah, please let Facebook know that what you think of that practice. Just
and that they're because scum.
Ultimately, that we don't want to be forking out money just to share the message with our people. But when the time is appropriate, if we have to, we will. But yeah, if you have a moment, just say something to Facebook and let them know just how it's affecting your ability to see our stuff.
Red Shirt Geeks.
All right, with all that being said, guys, you know, one of the most entertaining things that I've seen here on YouTube recently is Watch Mojo's top 10 video games of all time. So I was figuring we'd want to talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, watchmojo.com. It's something I follow regularly personally. So naturally, when they started doing top 10 video games of each generation with leading up to the top 10 list of all time, it kind of got me warmed up and special. And it was cool because the seventh generation had I owned the top bottom five of the top 10 list.
Yeah, so, bear in mind, guys, that this top 10 list that Watch Mojo put out is very subjective. I'm pretty sure that it's not, you know, not all the top 10 list games are on our top 10 list, but still, you know, Watch Mojo, given the fact that they have almost 5 million subscribers on YouTube, I'm pretty sure that they know kind of what they're talking about.
Yeah, I'll give them that. I think I probably agree that half of the ones that are on there should be on the list and not necessarily in the order that they provided.
But we'll go through the list and we'll talk about them real quick just so we can kind of have an idea, thoughts on each game. Then we're going to talk about our own games. So without further ado, the first one, number 10 on the list, GoldenEye 007.
Great game. Not only was the storyline fantastic, I mean, the game came out a few years after the movie, and you know, the storyline still took place of the movie storyline, but the thing for that game, which really put it a notch above the rest, was the multiplayer that they actually introduced. You know, that you know, you get to be one Bond fighting another Bond, you know, using some of the you know, I remember my favorite, you know, gun to use was the golden gun. You know, just the fact that you could use that, you know, in a multiplayer universe. You know, I had a ton of fun with that. No one else was doing that at the time.
Well, that's the thing.
I think it's also important to note how just the coolness of the fact that, I mean, this game is so cool that recently Pierce Brosnan actually played GoldenEye with Jimmy Fallon on the NBC late night show.
And got his ass kicked promptly.
Not surprising. Of course.
Well, he's perfectly old.
Silly actors.
Yep. Number 9 on the list, Resident Evil 4.
Whatever.
Oh, you don't?
I think that actually sums it up.
I don't agree with that.
Of the games on the list, I only have played two of them. This is the one I played, which was a PS2. Well, I played on the PS2. It was actually the only Resident Evil game I've played full through, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's a good game, and it's graphically very nice. But
it's probably, and between Resident Evil 2 and this one, those are probably the two best games. But you guys favor 2 over 4?
Yeah, believe me. And
yeah,
Dave,
I definitely do. You know.
Yeah, I think to be honest with you, look, I know I'm not the oldest member of this team, but I think emotionally I'm probably the oldest member of this team, and I remember playing the first Resident Evil game. I think that was it.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love Resident Evil games. Like I don't think I can stress enough that I love Resident Evil games. I remember growing up, you know, playing with a friend. You know, this was back before saves were good, so you'd have to pass the controller off. Yep. You know, and I remember playing with a friend. You know, and we'd be in the room with all the lights on, mind you. you know, because we got to the scene where the freaking alligator jumps out of the lake and scared the crap out of us. So we would refuse to have the lights off after that. So we'd be playing next to each other, you know, like, and we'd almost be like, you know, afraid to pass the controller, you know, like we'd get the controller back to us. And it would be a terrifying notion of like, oh crap, now I've got to do it, you know. And it was great. I love the Resident Evil games for that.
Yeah.
But after Nemesis, I kind of fell off the bandwagon. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. It's because they turned into a more of an arcade style game at that point. It was more just.
Yeah.
I mean, the shoot first two were all story based. Like I remember, I think I was in seventh or eighth grade when that game came out, and I stayed the night at my friend Chris, and he had never played it, and I played it through, and I knew exactly where the zombies came out of the windows to grab you, and I did it at the same time where he was playing it, and I scared the crap out of him. Scared the crap out of them.
You mean the shingles. The shingles,
daggone shingles out of them, yeah. But no, it's a good game regardless, you know.
Yeah, I mean, again, I love the concept of the Resident Evil. I just, again, I don't have much experience with the games itself. But I guess it's the cool thing about it is that you played it so much when you were younger, you can you look back upon it nostalgically.
All right, number eight. What's got number eight?
I don't have the list. Patrick or Dave, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Sorry, I accidentally muted my own microphone. Number eight, Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim.
Now, Skyrim, I've never played this game yet. I think I've probably seen most of the game itself played because my wife is a huge fan of playing Skyrim, and I'm pretty sure that I spent more time watching her play Skyrim than I watched most movies, actual cinematic movies.
Yeah. I kind of haven't gotten to this game yet because the PS3 version, since I run PS3, everything I've heard for the past since it came out was that it was buggy. I guess you guys have said it's fixed, so I'm going to try this game because I want to try this game.
Well, it's a Bethesda game, so you got to kind of, you know, automatically assume that it's going to be buggy.
Yeah.
at least at first, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bethesda's pretty good at you know, hurrying up and getting out there and fixing as many of the bugs as they can.
So.
And they're pretty adamant about getting that done. And they definitely did with Skyrim. That was a lot of fun. Really fun game.
So I'm tackling that next.
It's a very big game. I mean, prepare to invest a lot of time into it. And if you have a Steam account, get it through Steam. Because with the Mod Workshop, there's free mods that completely enhance the game tenfold. If looking at my Steam right now, I've logged 190 hours in that game.
Wow.
So,
nice.
Yeah. I don't know if I should be proud of that or not, but but I was just, you know, I was like, oh, I might as well look it up because I know Steam tracks your hours. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I can imagine me doing that. Number seven on the list, Mass Effect 2. Has anybody played Mass Effect?
Oh, yeah.
You have played Mass Effect.
Yeah,
you play
again,
as Man Shep or Fem Shep?
Fem.
You play Fem. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, again, this is one of those games where I watched it get played. I think it's safe to say that I am definitely not the gamer of this group.
Yeah, at least not the video gamer. So.
No, that's right. A good choice on their part.
We'll
the
find at least
one
game on here you've played significantly, if not two. Okay, number six is Portal 2.
Hang on, go back a second.
Oh, you want to go back to Mass Effect?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Dave hasn't weighed in on Mass Effect at all.
Sorry.
No. I shook my head no. I really haven't played Mass Effect that much.
Okay. Alrighty.
Okay.
That's fine. On we go.
Then let's jump to Portal 2.
Am I the only one that's played Portal 2 as well?
Probably.
I guess so.
I've seen videos about it.
Well, for that note, I've been dying to play Portal 2. I mean, there, you know, other than that, there's not much I can say. I loved Portal 1. I was one of the few people that really kind of got into that game before the bandwagon started. You know, there was a huge long period of time before you know, the bandwagon for Portal got started. My favorite thing about the Portal franchise is just the amount of detail that they put into those games. You can make it a very simple game where you take, you know, just a few hours to go through, or you can make it a really complex game where you really look for all those Easter eggs, and you can look for all the little side things that they have, you know, the writing written on the walls, and, you know, so on and so forth. So I was really excited to hear that in Portal 2 they carried that on. Am I correct in that?
tenfold. Yeah, I get that game for the humor alone because, oh my god.
fun.
And it's fun and it's enjoyable and it makes you think and it makes you laugh. I mean, I don't know, that's a good combination of almost everything. So,
okay, let's get to number 5 then, which is going to be the groan inducer, Chrono Trigger.
I've honestly never even heard of it. Like, I have no idea what this game is about. I didn't know about it until this list.
Yeah. I'm not going to bash it because I know too many of my friends that swear by it. I've just personally never gotten into it, so it's not a favorite of mine.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's a Final Fantasy-esque game with a lot of time traveling and some great storytelling, and I'm never going to play it. I don't think anybody's going to play it here, so. Number 4 on the list, we'll just jump real fast, Super Mario World.
Awesome.
There's bound to be a Mario on here. I kind of missed the Mario after like Super Mario 3. I haven't really played a Mario since then. Far back.
Oh, that's wow.
Ancient. Yeah, Super Mario World, that was the one that came out on N64, is that right? That's the 3D graphics.
So. Yeah.
Man, that was a lot of fun. I mean, you had the Princess Castle, which basically was the central hub for the game, right? You know, you'd go into the castle and you'd jump into the portrait for whatever level you were going to, you know. That game was a lot of fun. I remember playing that game through.
Correction, that's a Super Nintendo. That was before the 3D.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Super Mario World, not Super Mario 3D. Then never mind, right?
Yeah, then never mind. All right, cut all that out. Now I've got to look that up.
Oh, well, it happens. So let's go to number 3, which is Half-Life 2.
No, that's a game I actually played. I played it back on the PC.
Finally!
Yeah, I still remember. I mean, look, that was back in the day when I was playing FPS games like Counter-Strike. Oh. I know. Now, yeah, I'm pretty sure that if you slit my throat, dust would come out right now. So, but I still remember I never really paid much attention to the story of the games at that time, and it's just because I was enjoying the distraction of the FPS game. But yeah, I mean, still had a really good storyline. The graphics were really good, and playability was really good.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember at that time when Half-Life 2 came out, it was such a big deal because the graphical engine that they used was the new Source engine, and it was just like. Oh my god, this looks amazing, and I'm shooting people with this weird crossbow that shoots orange bolts into people.
Not even just that. Remember the gravity gun? Oh. I mean, you could use that thing to like pick up anything in your surroundings, basically, you know, and use it to your advantage to help you solve puzzles. Half-Life 2 was a fantastic game.
And if I remember, one of the reasons it ended up on the list was because it still plays pretty well today. And
it really does. Yeah.
So,
I played it again recently, and I still had a ball, you know? Yep,
there you go. Number 2 on the list, Tetris.
Well, look, I mean, look, I play Tetris.
I'll assume
Tetris
everybody
here
has already played Tetris in some
form or
another.
We've played it.
Spoilers.
We've played it to death, you know. I mean, look, we've played that game so much that we've actually used its strategies in real life.
Exactly. Whenever I see an L-shaped box, I know exactly what to do with it.
That's right.
Yep.
The only thing that sucks is that when you're actually going to stack boxes and you get them all in a line, they don't disappear.
I know. That's a real pain, but I actually have to physically move them all.
That's the next thing I need to do in Minecraft is a Tetris board. Wow, I just proved I need help. Let's go to number 1.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that our listeners knew you needed help before this episode.
Okay, number 1 on the list, and if I mispronunciate it, too bad. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. I haven't played it. Personally, I haven't played a Zelda game since Legend of Zelda 2.
I haven't played a Zelda game since The Legend of Zelda, the first one.
Yep. Yeah.
I've only played the second one.
Yeah.
Seriously? Am I the only one that played this?
Probably.
Yeah.
Wow, that's painful. All right, well, let me make sure I don't do the same mistake with Super Mario. Make sure this is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it's really hard
for
my roommate.
That's the one with the ocarina.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm sorry. Like, I was really kind of disappointed about how these games go. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure these games are pretty cool, but you know, I started getting all confused with like when they started breaking away, like when they did Final Fantasy and all that. Because you know, Patrick, you remember that when we were in high school, we played the hell out of Final Fantasy on your Super yeah. NES.
And, I never had a Super NES. I had the original Nintendo. Nintendo console I ever had. Then the next console I bought was a PS2. I kind of skipped four or five generations in there.
The thing, you know, we had this game that it was one thing, and then next you know, like after seven releases, it's something completely different. It has no ties to the original, and I was just like, I don't know. That's kind of how I felt about these games. But as I've heard, the Ocarina of Time is a pretty cool game.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to have a conversation with my roommate about it because he's pro Zelda everything. Like he's played them all. Like he's even got the new DLC for the new Mario Kart 8 because it has Zelda in it. So like it's just like I'm like, all right, man, that's fine.
It doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah. So I mean, it is what it is. I don't, you know, when he tries to have a conversation about Ocarina of Time, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, man.
All right, yeah, just for the framework, I actually had to look it up just because there's been so many of these freaking games. And yeah, that's the one that I have played. You know, it was on a Nintendo 64. You know, everyone enjoyed watching him, you know, toot his little flute. And yeah, I mean, it was a fun game, you know. I mean, it was definitely a lot of replayability, a lot of memories, you know. Just even me looking at this picture of the N64 cartridge brings me back a little bit. But I don't know if I'd make it a number one, yeah. You know.
Because we all have our own favorites, we have some things. So let's just go through and name a few games that stuck with you that weren't on this list that you thought were awesome. Lars, let's start with you.
You know that there is one game only, that sticks at the top of my list and always will be there.
Because the Force stopped us otherwise, you hoser?
That's right. Exactly. I'm talking about Wasteland. I'm sorry, but that game was, not only was it an adventure that took the majority of my after school activities for the entirety of my sophomore year of high school.
And mine.
But the great thing about it was just absolutely chocked with super one-liners. And at the same time, they went to great lengths to throw you off from cheating because the game came with a book. And it actually, when you got to certain parts in the game, you had to read a passage from the book. And they had all of these things at the back of it. And most of them were designed to mislead you into thinking that the story was going to take a different direction altogether.
This was before they could fit everything on a 5 1/4-inch floppy disk.
Right. I mean, so remember the game.
This
the
was
game
on a Commodore 64. We played this.
Yeah, that's right. It was something like
second generation.
It was 2 5 1/4-inch floppy disks, and it was constantly depending on where you are in the game. Flipping the disc over and, you know, like it says, you know, instead of saying, you know, put in disc one, side two, it would be like, put in side three. And like, the hell is side three? Oh, it's disc two, side one. You know?
So again, you're saying...
again, that game just...
Well, you got to put it in the other way. You know?
Yeah,
you
I found out about the Kickstarter campaign to fund the Wasteland 2 too late. And
that's what I was about to ask you.
And the whole thing was that it was just, you know, it's one of those things that sticks in my memory from my childhood that will always be there with me. And no matter how old I get, I'll probably die. You know, when I die, if I'm blessed enough to go on to the afterlife, my idea of heaven will be sitting there playing Wasteland.
Have you seen the new one?
I have.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it at some point, the
new Shadowrun one as well.
Yep.
Who and who. Dave, anything jumped out in your memory that's not on the Watch Mojo list?
Absolutely. Honestly, absolutely. First off, because I've actually got 2 pointers on this one. First off, either Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, 3. Screw New Vegas.
Man.
I played them both.
What? Oh,
man, both of those are fantastic games. Honestly, just like with Skyrim, you've got hours upon hours upon weeks of entertainment ahead of you if you're going to play one of those games. And then after that, you can replay it many times and get a different effect. You know, there is just so much depth and so much detail in both of those. How can you go wrong? And then the other thing that I was going to mention, just because mainly I enjoy them, but mainly because of their effect on the gaming community, is the Call of Duty and or Battlefield series. Mm. You know, specifically if you're going to go with Call of Duty, I would say Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Battlefield, I'd probably say Battlefield 3.
I would have to disagree a little bit on Battlefield 3. My favorite, though, was Battlefield 1942.
Yes!
Yeah. Oh, yes! Okay. That was great. That was great. That's definitely a good game. I don't know if I would include it in the top 10 of all time.
It was amazing.
It's a nostalgia favorite. It's a nostalgia favorite.
Totally. Absolutely. I totally agree with that, you know. I mean, shoot, I still remember playing, you know, when you storm Normandy, you know. I mean, that was great. But Modern Warfare 2, I mean, that's the online playability of that. It really raised the bar as far as, you know, first-person shooter gaming is concerned for the modern time, you know. Yeah. So I would say that.
Okay, Alex, let's go with your one or two of your favorites of all time that just jump out at you.
I probably have two. My first one is Day of Defeat Source.
What's that game? I know nothing about this.
It's a World War II first-person shooter. It runs on the Source engine.
Nice.
I've logged 281 hours of that game.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Day of Defeat Source, and then next one would be EverQuest Ruins of Kunark, because that was my first MMO, and that's...
Yeah. MMOs have a lot of different flavors, and yeah, I mean, I remember EverQuest. I remember being absolutely completely enamored with the idea that you could be playing a video game with people who were not in the same room as you.
Yep.
Dude, honestly, you said that made me think about it. I'm really surprised not to see on this list is World of Warcraft.
Yeah. It's actually on one of the other generations list, and it's actually number 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made I think sixth generation.
Well, I'm really surprised about they're not going to include that as one of the top 10 games just because of the huge impact that it had on the gaming community.
Yeah. It made the MMO.
It was my first MMO. I remember going to my very first LAN party. My stepdad took me, and I saw this guy that was considerably older than I was, and he was playing EverQuest, and he had a necromancer just sitting down on the ground, and he's just like, yeah, I'm playing with like 1,000 other people. I'm like, my mind just was blown. I'm like, what?
Wow.
I've only played Quake 3. Show me more of this EverQuest.
What is this sorcery?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was hooked. It was, you know.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm more of the solo gamer type person. I tend to get into those games where you explore content and you don't have to talk to real people because people suck.
Yeah, I go back to
pre-8-bit stuff and things like Zork. That's how far back my gaming goes. But ones that really jump out besides Fallout 3 and Wasteland as being some early favorites, the original Legend of Zelda and the first Final Fantasy were ones that really captured everything that I thought a game could be awesomely cool. I had a good lag in there. Two series that I've pretty much played as much as I could out of them. The StarCraft series, both the original and StarCraft 2, I think I could pretty much pull up on my computer all those games right now. And Diablo, although I haven't gotten the latest, although I haven't gotten the new content for, I can't even remember the name of it,
Dominion. Diablo 3?
For Diablo 3.
Reaper of Souls.
Reaper of Souls, thank you. I haven't gotten the Reaper of Souls expansion, but I'm cramming my five classes through the hell levels of Diablo 3 right now, and playing with my daughter on Diablo 3. And
you still have yours. My account got banned, so at least you still have yours.
How'd you get banned?
you got banned?
Someone stole my account because I logged in and there were like 4 max level characters, and I'm like, well, none of these are mine. Because I only had, like, one, if that. So I just went, I'm like, and they had all these Asian friends. And I'm like, well, none of these friends are mine because I don't speak Chinese. So I just started removing all these friends, and I deleted all the characters. And, like, a day later, my account got banned.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow. Yeah.
That's sad.
Probably whoever stole your account decided to blab and say this guy is abusive and turned you in, even though it wasn't you that did it in the first place.
Yep.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's why. That's why I don't play online. Two other games that jump in big time. The Last of Us. Probably the best storytelling that I can think of.
That is a great game. That is such a good game.
I've played the game through twice just because it just... You have to sit through every cutscene unless you die and have to watch the cutscene two or three times. But
it's a good story. That's what it is.
It's storytelling in game form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that would almost work as a movie, except that part of the fun is being able to run and play around with it. And what is the other one? I'm trying to think of the last thing that I want to mention. The one I've been the odd one out here. Actually, I'll leave it at that because that's probably one. Those are probably my touchstone. Oh, the other one I wanted to mention, the oddest game I've played that's really good, a little game called Gone Home. Does anybody else know about this one?
No, never heard of it. What is it?
It's kind of this exploration game where you go around and you're a girl that just got home from overseas and you're going through your family's new house trying to figure out what happened. And it's really all about finding out what happened to your sister. And let's put it this way. I'm not going to spoil the ending, but by the end, you're wondering if you're going to find your sister dead or something. Mm-hmm. That's how – it's just a storytelling game. It's kind of an independent one. It's one to look up just because it's unique. It's all about the story. There's no action.
That almost sounds as entertaining as Silent Hill 4.
Yeah.
Mm. Have you seen the new Silent Hill?
I've seen trailers for it. I don't know if I'm excited or not. I mean, they've got I can't think of the actor's name, but Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Right.
I mean, the trailer looks fantastic. The only reason I'm skeptical is it's like if you're gonna bring in an actor from something as visually iconic as The Walking Dead, there might be something wrong with the game. That's my only concern. You know.
Yeah.
Other than that. You know,
you have to see what happens. Okay, yeah. Last thing on this subject, real quick. Game you're playing and game or two that you're playing and why. Lars.
I'm not playing any games at this moment.
Sucks to be you.
The last game I played was Star Trek Online.
Oh.
Wait a minute. That's not even online anymore. Okay, Dave.
Nothing. I'm poor.
Yes. Yes.
You're not playing any games right now. Not even
Metro. I have literally sold all of my games to pay for coke habits and, you know. No. I've gone to GameStop and sold them all for the 50 cents that they're worth just so I can, you know, work on rent. No, I have no games right now. My PS3 is empty.
Okay. Well, Alex,
I'm playing Arma 3 Altus Life and Divinity Original Sin right now.
Okay. Any particular reason on those or anything to share?
Divinity and Original Sin is essentially like Baldur's Gate, if you've ever played that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. It was Divinity Original Sin was originally a Kickstarter that got funded, and it turned into like a two-player Baldur's Gate single-player game. So if you like those kind of games, it's fun and
something to check out. As for myself, I've got two games that I'm really working on other than the browser grinding games and crap like that. The two that I'm playing right now, of course, Diablo 3, because I'm grinding those characters through. I'm working on a monk. That's fun. And the other one, Minecraft, the pocket edition on my tablet, because my daughter wanted it because she's got friends that are playing it. And so she wanted it. And then finally, for my birthday, she decided to convince me the day before my birthday, she insisted I try it. So I said, okay, fine, I'll get on this. Okay. What? And this was the day before the first day of school as well. So it's 1 a.m. and I got to get a 6 o'clock start. It's like, oh, crap, I'm hooked. So I've nicknamed it Minecrack.
Yeah, I think that would be an appropriate name for it. Because it's one of those games that's really addictive.
Lars, you said you played Star Trek Online.
Yeah, it's still actually out there. It's still out there.
I'm sorry.
It's free now.
Star Wars.
We should all play that and just create Red Shirt Geeks.
There we go. That is an idea. Man.
That would be amazing. Awesome.
More Red Shirt Geeks everywhere. Better Red Shirt Geeks everywhere.
You're never going to be
speaking of better Red Shirt Geeks everywhere, Lars.
Yes, Adventure actually, we're going to talk about the new website. We know that the website that we relaunched is about 5 weeks old at this point, but we went into this venture thinking that we were going to have a lot more people get involved than actually did, and a lot of that comes down to is when we started this whole idea. It was really quick. We got into we had an idea form really fast, and when it did, it just steamrolled. The thing was that we were moving so fast that I don't think people knew just how passionate we were about this. So they were kind of along for the ride, but you know, they're sort of like, oh, I'll get into it once he picks up some more steam. And you know, for us to try to do all the things that we're doing and keep all of the content going, it's been a little tough. So what we've done is we've retooled the idea of our website a little bit, and we're moving towards more video content. So now you see, we'll have the Power Hour, the Gaming Power Hour with Alex and Reese, where they will be playing video games to their heart's content and sharing all of their experiences, including some game walkthroughs. We have the Doomed Away team with Dave and our special co-host for that show, Dennis Shetler, who was in our 48-hour film this year. So we've got that, and then of course we've got the Red Shirt Geeks podcast itself. So
which obviously you're listening to.
Yeah, ultimately we'll still continue with the reviews and such like that of the movies and the games and whatever it is that we got going on. We're still going to keep that up, but ultimately the majority of the content we're going to shift gears and go into more of a video content because we can produce that more quickly and in greater volumes for you, so that when you come to our website, you're seeing a lot of fresh content. And you know, this has come from a lot of feedback that we've had from listeners to our show and visitors to our website. So hopefully these new changes and the new layout, now that we're also ported the website to a content delivery network to make everything faster, the entire experience should be better. Ultimately, we're going to keep expanding the amount of offerings we have. But right now, you know, we're dialing back some of the stuff that we're doing so that we know that we can produce it quickly and in the desired amounts, while at the same time fostering our relationship with our other partners for this website.
So yeah, as we are doing this, get ready. We're still going to take submissions, still take more content. That if people want to add content, let us know. We will take that. So
absolutely. Yeah,
I personally am really looking forward to that the Gaming Power Hour, Alex. What are you going to be looking at first on that?
Well, we've already did our first episode. We did it last night. Great. Obviously, it's an hour. It was an hour of us playing Smite, which is I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's like a third-person arena-type MOBA game. But it's pretty good. But we're going to switch it out. I mean, every episode is going to be a different game, obviously.
Nice.
You know, we extended that in the video near the end. You'll hear us say, you know, if you have any feedback or if there's any games you want to see, let us know. Just shoot us an email just so we can plan ahead and, you know, get the ball rolling with that. But yeah, it's going to be pretty fun.
Cool. Like, is it all like gameplay footage or?
Oh yeah, no, it's live gameplay. Yeah, we're commenting as we're playing.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
So this is stuff that would have normally gone to our Twitch channel. And we're going to bring that straight into – we'll stream that directly from YouTube. Mm-hmm. And we'll embed those YouTube videos straight into our website so that you're not having to go off to the third website just to see our content. You know, I mean, you can go to YouTube if you want to see everything in high definition. But ultimately, we're going to bring the embedding of all that material right into our website.
And the greatest part about this is we are recording this on a Friday. You're going to start the port after the podcast, so – We're talking about things we don't even know have happened yet. Awesome.
We're time traveling.
I love
just like our film. Yay.
Yay.
You are actually listening to episode 2 of Doctor Who.
Wait a minute.
Don't blink, whatever you do.
Don't blink. So help me.
Crap,
God.
I blink.
I looked at the trap, Ray. I looked at the trap.
You're right.
That
Your
didn't
Honor.
Look like I thought it would.
Man is a joke.
Oh, Doctor Who jokes.
Yes, and that's all the time we have for this edition of the Red Shirt Geeks. I'm Laz Deed, the pseudo Kiwi. Come and visit us on RedShirtGeeks.com.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M. Come visit us on Twitter at Red Shirt Geeks.
and I'm Sweetbeard of Zeus Alex. We're on Facebook even though half the time it doesn't work.
And I'm Disembodied Dave, and I don't really care where you go.
Why don't you just come back to the site again?
Yeah. It's a full tilt circle. Just keep, you know.
Because awesome. We're the Red Shirt Geeks, where every expendable... Oh, my God. I'm breathing out the street.
Stallone is thanking you as much.
Where apparently every expendable has a home. So Jason Statham, you know, Stallone.
Yay, the expendables. Yay.
John Bean. Oh, my goodness. Bruce Willis. A lot of them. We are the Red Shirt Geeks, where every expendable hero has a home.
Geeks Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Permissions beyond the scope of this license may be available at redshirtgeeks.com.